It is so good to return to school and to get back in class and to be part of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is a school you can attend wherever you are with your radio. You can attend this school while you're driving along in your automobile if you'll tune in and listen. But I would encourage those of you who are at home to pull up a chair, get where you can hear this radio broadcast clearly, and open your Bible and be a student in this school. You will hear things in this school that can bless you for eternity. We're talking about a Sunday school lesson, studying a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for November 25th, 1923, about how Christians are called to be missionaries. And the text we're looking at is that familiar text often called the Great Commission, found at the very end of the book of Matthew, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we'll be looking at that, along with another text found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, as we continue in this study. Now, before proceeding further, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. But now let's get into the subject matter that we have before us today as we study this little Sunday school lesson. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. And then he told us how to make them disciples. Do you know how to make someone a disciple? Well, you need to teach them about Christ. But that's not all there is to it. You teach them, and then you baptize them. And baptizing them, you make them a disciple. You know, if I were to say to clean the floor, mopping it, and all you did was swept it, you would not have obeyed the command to clean, because mopping it tells you how to clean the floor. And so also when Jesus says to make disciples, baptizing them, if all you do is teach them, you have not yet made them a disciple, even though they may have believed, because you need to baptize them to make them a disciple. None can be baptized who would not receive this teaching. But as in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. The commission recorded by Mark and Luke was not spoken at the same time as that recorded by Matthew, but it means exactly the same thing. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. In Luke 24:47, he said, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. This shows that becoming disciples of Christ is a voluntary act on the part of all who are of all the nations. They can receive the gospel or reject it. It also shows that becoming Christians, they must believe the gospel, repent of their sins, and be baptized into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The way to be saved rests upon the same authority as the command to go in this Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Neither men nor angels can alter this. God even has committed this way into the hands of him who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Baptizing them into the name. Now notice that's the name, singular. Not names, plural. But into the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This means into all the blessings that are in them, into this association, into this fellowship, into this communion with them, out of self, into Christ, out of darkness, into light, out of the world, into the body and kingdom of God's Son. This baptism is water baptism, because the apostles could not baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Christ alone could do that. Also, because no one was ever commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, after Cornelius had received the Holy Spirit, he was commanded to be baptized, and that's a baptism in water. Baptism is a burial in water of one who believes in Jesus as the Christ and trusts God and has repented of his sins. Baptism is a solemn act of obedience to God, declaring one's faith in Jesus Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. It puts one into Christ, and as this verse states, into the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and verse 27. And so Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, teaching them, those who have become disciples, then people are not required to know everything about Christianity before they become Christians. No, neither can they. They must first become babes in Christ and learners in Christ school. They are teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. It is just as important to observe all these things as it is to first become Christians or disciples of Christ. This expression embraces every precept and every principle taught by Jesus. Those telling you that you do not need to obey Jesus and do what he says are not teaching as the apostles taught, or as Christ instructed them to teach. He told them to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. The apostles preached and practiced this part of the commission as diligently as the first part, and so all must today. And Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This means Jesus was not only with the disciples then, but he will be with his church and will ever uphold this commission until the end of the world. The way of salvation will never change unto the end of the world. Many are the promises of Jesus to be with his disciples and to bless them. The Acts of Apostles show how this commission was carried out by the apostles as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, so that they could make no mistake, and thus guarded what they told sinners to do in order to be pardoned and saved in heaven. It is the guidance of the Holy Spirit we have, and so the way is sure. The way then is to learn the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? It is to wait with the apostles at Jerusalem until they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then hear them preach and what they tell people to believe and to do for the remission of sins, and then to go with them throughout the world and see that they preach and teach the same thing everywhere. Let me read another text to you. This is found in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. If we read in Acts 1, "They therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath set within his own authority, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We read in Acts chapter 1 that this conversation occurred when they came together. That's Jesus and the apostles. At this time, the last interview between them took place. Jesus was on the earth 40 days after his resurrection. He appeared at different times to the apostles and other disciples. He spoke to them the things concerning the kingdom of God. On the day in which he was received up, which was the day of the meeting of this verse, as we'll see in verse 4 and in verse 9, he gave commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen. This embraced the commission which he had already given before, but which was repeated on this most important and memorable occasion. Being assembled together with them on this day of his ascension, Jesus gave the apostles this charge. Before Jesus had forbidden his apostles to tell anyone that he was the Christ till he should arise from the dead, he didn't want them to do this earlier. In Matthew 16, verse 20, after Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus had said to Peter at that time, "Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ." Jesus, coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse 9, said, "And as they were coming down from the mount, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son be risen from the dead. But now, since this glorious resurrection had occurred, and he was about to ascend unto heaven, he commanded them, just so soon as he should ascend and send the Holy Spirit upon them, to go into all the world and preach it everywhere." We read in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Luke writes, "The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day he was received up, and after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, ye have heard of me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence." Jesus met with his apostles in Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24:45, and led them out as far as Bethany. Some of these things were doubtless said in Jerusalem, and some on the Mount of Olives. And at this meeting, the apostles asked, "Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And again, God had promised a restoration to Israel, but the apostles were labored under the delusion that Jesus would deliver the Jews from Roman bondage and establish again a temporal kingdom of David. This question shows that Christ's kingdom had not yet been inaugurated. If it had been inaugurated, the apostles would have known it. Or if it had been inaugurated and they did not know it, then they were not paying attention. Jesus certainly would have informed them of the fact. instead of pointing to it to the future. The Church of Christ was about to be established.